Morning. I'm thankful tonight that we can just sing about being thankful and how that I was thinking this scripture in Psalms 107, I think, talked about thanking God for, or maybe it's praising God for his goodness. I believe it says praising God in that. But both of them are appropriate, you know, to be thankful. I was just thinking as we come into this house tonight, if we can just have thankfulness in our hearts, you know, for what God has done for us. And I don't want to ever in my heart have any feeling, you know, we all have problems, but I don't want to fault God for my problems, you know, because I don't have to, you know, I don't deserve God's goodness, first of all, put it that way. Then when I start thinking how undeserving I am, then I can't help but to be thankful for what God has done. You know, in spite of me, then God has been good. He has shown me his goodness. And I'm thankful tonight that I've been able to see, you know, God's goodness in the land of the living. And to be able to see that, you know, regardless of, he did that for his children, the children of Israel. You know, they turned their backs on him. But although he did let them go through things, but he still showed his love to them. He let them know that, you know, that he was going to call them back to him. And you talk about a God that's forgiving. I want to always be thankful to a God that has you know, he don't have to have strings attached to what he does for us. You know, he don't necessarily, like I say, he doesn't owe us anything, but yet he is mindful of us. You know, when he said that scripture that said, you know, my people that are called by my name, if they can just humble themselves, you know, he does, you know, have some guidelines, some stipulation. If they just humble themselves and pray, you know, and seek his face, you know, begin to seek God and to let him, you know, God can do something for us. And I, you know, sometimes it may be hard to realize that all we have to do is begin to be humble before God. You know, even wicked kings, as a scripture where Ahab, you know, he was a wicked king. But he, when God started dealing with him, he humbled himself before God. And God said, you know, since he humbled himself, some of these things that he's going to bring up, that was going to happen, he wasn't going to do it in his lifetime because he humbled himself. You know, God honors humility. It's important to him. You know, why should we as human beings, you know, we didn't bring ourselves into this world. We really, you know, we are dependent creatures. We depend on God's oxygen. We depend on his, you know, we can't exist on by ourselves. You know, like this story they tell about this guy, you know, he was upset and he said he wanted to create something. You know, he wanted to create his own man or whatever. And he started getting dirt from the ground. What did God tell him? You know, get your own dirt. You know, he didn't even have any dirt to get. So, I mean, we don't have anything, you know, to brag about, you know. It all comes from God. So that's what, that helps me to kind of keep things in perspective when I begin to, you know, I can get haughty, I can get proud and about things that, you know, I've had some accomplishments and I've had people tell me, man, you did good on that. You know, that make you feel pretty good, but I have nothing to brag about. I just want to give God, you know, the Bible said give God the glory. You know, if you've done something good, if you've been blessed in any way, glorify God about it. You know, lift him up because after all, you know, he's the one that did it. You know, he's the one that allowed you. If you do have something to if you possibly could get high-minded about anything, but if it was God that allowed you to do it, gave you the strength, gave you the knowledge or the wisdom or whatever it took to get that accomplished, God gave it to us. You know, so anyway, I'm just thankful tonight we're singing about a Savior that we can praise. You know, thank him in the morning, is to thank him in the morning and praise him. And what about the midday? Rejoice in the evening. Be praise him in the afternoon and rejoice in the evening. So we want to lift him up. You know, God is, and I'm just so thankful that I can see some of the things that God is doing. And I can, you know, there's so many different little phrases you can look at, you know, human beings. And they talk about hogs, and they say, you know, hogs eat acorn that falls from the tree. We never look up to see where it came from. You know, we can be like that. You know, we cannot even consider that God, you know, his sun shine on the just as well as the unjust. You know, the unjust as well as just. So it, you know, he's doing all this. I like to keep things in perspective and realize, you know, God, you know, had it not been for God, you know, where would I be? You know, where would I be? And I'm just so thankful tonight that we're singing these things and these praises unto God and realizing, you know, that he's helping us as well. You know, he's helping us to live for him. You know, we can't even live for him if he didn't help us. You know, if he didn't help us to have that kind of mindset. You know, people out here that just doing their own thing, you know, living for themselves. And what a shallow life that would be, just living for yourself. But if you begin to mix God in with your life, begin to mix him with what you're doing every day, not just sometime, but every day, begin to let God be a part of your life, and your days go better. Sometimes I look at a day and I say, what did I accomplish this day? If I maybe read my Bible, if I prayed in or whatever, you know, that might have been the greatest thing I did that whole day. And I was thinking, this guy on the radio, he said that he asked a question like, what did you do today? You know, and you might say, whatever, you might think about what you did, but he said it cost you a day of your life this day. So anyway, our life is expiring whether we do anything or not. You know, it's expiring. So it did cost us tonight. You know, we're out here. And whatever we did today, it cost us a day of our life. And it's good to be found in the house of God tonight to continue our walk with him. Good to be here and good to have our company with Anthony and Sir Jamie and the children. So I had to get really acquainted with them. Joseph, Noah and Lauren. Did I get that right? So I had to get reacquainted. I had to repeat the name, see, because I do that with my own kinfolk. You know, I got nieces and nephews. I had to get up there. Let me call your name again, because I forget it. Because if I see them, you know, 5 years from now, oh, Lord, I won't remember. So anyway, that's a free. And Brother, Rodney, is Coster? Coster? All right. But Rodney, it's good to have you tonight. We pray that your wife will improve. Improvement, that's what we're looking for, right? So in a way, we know God can do that. We're serving a God that can help us and lift us up. Sometimes in this life, you can get discouraged and get down. There's a lot of things that can get you down. Sometimes, you know, you have to turn off the news. You know, it can get you down. You get to looking at, man, are we going to war? You know, what's going on? You know, the weather get crazy, and you think, wintertime in July and all that kind of, you know. Somebody said frost in July. Whoever heard of that, you know. But anyway, things can get a little out of whack sometimes, you know, and it looked like, well, what's going on, you know. But anyway, we know that God knows all about it. He's in control. Some things happen, you know, that it just maybe just by chance it happened. Then sometimes things happen on purpose. You know, God has a purpose for it. And that's what we look at. We try to find God in things that are going on, even out here in this world. You know, we see God's hand in it. You know, God rules in the kingdom of men. Just remember that. God rules. You know, sometimes you think, well, this man over here, he's speaking mighty strong. He sounds scary. But just remember, God rules in the kingdom of men. No matter what you hear, God rules. And we can't do nothing without him. So anyway, just, you know, can have that confidence in God. That's what I'm trying to do, is have the confidence and trust that God is, he knows what these people are saying. You know, no matter, you know, they sometimes, I remember in the 60s, I know some of y'all don't know, can't go that far back, but in the 60s, if you was living in this country, they had things they called fallout shelters. You know what they was for? Just in case we had a nuclear war. And there was a man over in Russia. His name was Khrushchev. Man, he was doing some, they call a saber rattling. He was rattling his sabers. He was telling America that he was going to bury him. We're going to bury America. You know, that kind of talk's scary if you're in America. I mean, that would kind of scare you. But you know, that man is gone. And but there'll be other people, you know, that, I remember, and then to make it more real to me, here I'm in the military, you know, what kind of, I was in the, what they call the artillery part of the Army, and we, in our possession, we had nuclear warheads. That's what we had, missiles, Persian missiles, and the warheads were nuclear. And we had our targets were the communist countries outside of the European, like Germany, and they're not. I don't know if they're all communist countries now, but like Romania, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, some of those places. And that was because these missiles we had was not long range; they were short range, 400 or 500 miles, but they were within distance. I mean, those countries was within distance where we were. I was over there in Germany. But so it was real. It was real. This threat of nuclear warfare was real because we had them. We were trained on them, and we had the missiles. And then we went on guard duty. We went out there. A lot of times, you know, in the military, I've been in guard duty where you just had a rifle. You didn't have no ammunition. But when we was on guard duty in Germany, we had a clip of 20 rounds and in our rifles. And our words was to anybody that approached us, in German, was halt. That means stop, you know. And if they didn't halt, you know what our orders were? Shoot. So anyway, this was real. I mean, this is the way it was. But we got through that. I said, God helped us get through that. And we didn't have the war. We kept saying World War III. You still hear that, World War III. But anyway, you know, like I said, God rules. And no matter where you are in life, where you are in position you are in this world doing different things, you know, just remember that. God rules. And man can't do any more than God let him. So anyway, it's good to be here. I'm just so thankful that we are serving that kind of God. And we have access to him. We have access to his spirit and his love and the things that... These attributes of God, we have access to it, and we can have that in our life. We can have God's love in our life, and we can. He's allowed us to have his spirit. We can have his spirit to guide us and help us through life and help us to stay on the right track and help us to continue. Sometimes, you know, you can get weary in well-doing and maybe want to throw in the towel, but we have to continue with God. You know, he's saying that those endure to the end. You know, sometimes you think, well, this is it, when is the end going to be? Well, when God allows it, when God says it's the end. You know, not when I say it's the end, but when God says it's the end. So anyway, let's lift him up tonight. I don't know if we need to pray now, Brother Smith. I know we prayed once already. So let's pray for God's people. We know about Brother Weininger. I did go up and see him today, and he, from what I heard about him since I wasn't here Sunday, he is, you know, progressing. They had a tube down his throat, and they don't have that down there anymore. They took that out, so he's progressing, and you're talking to him. Just pray for him, you know. He's in God's hands. So let's pray for him that God will help him. And also, ma'am, yes, sister. Mm-hmm. Okay. To get some help, right? Sister Crow. Remember Sister Crow. Pray that God will help her. Brother Wallace. Christian. I heard Ted, but... Your son, okay. pray for Brother Wallace's son. Remember that tonight. All right, Sister Ann. Brother Paul, remember Brother Paul. This time of the year. Brother Rodney. Okay. Some needs there. Some needs, just remember that. I was just walking out of the elevator this afternoon, seeing Brother Weiniger and this man, saying, y'all have a great hospital here in Little Rock, but I've been here too long. He had been here a couple of weeks. His dad is dying of cancer, and he'd drive back and forth between here and the hot springs every day. So I would tell my wife, you know, if you think you're having a problem, just visit one of these hospitals here in Little Rock, and you'll see that you really don't have a problem. And so anyway, let's remember these needs. Anybody else? Brother Mike. August 14th. Okay, remember. Brother and Sister Wilson and Sister Jenny. Crap. All right, remember that. So Chelsea. Candy? Okay. Oh. Oh, God. All right. What's her name, Chelsea?
Her name is Tricia.
Oh, okay. Remember that? Okay, remember that need. Sister Sandra. All right, remember that. All right, Brother Painter. Your mother. All right, remember Brother Painter's mother. And anybody else? Yep. All right, Sister Terry Shelton. Remember her. Pray for her. All right. So let's all stand and take these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people. Lord, we are so thankful tonight that we have this opportunity, Lord, to reach out to you and bring our needs before you, Lord. We thank you. Help your people, Lord. Oh, God, help your people. Oh, Lord, help Brother Weiniger and keep your head up. Jesus, each need, Lord. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Glory, hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, help your people, Lord. Lord, help us in our hearts to reach out. We open it to you, Lord. Precious Savior, thank you, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your holy name, oh God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Nate, for history. Oh, God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus. Yes.
Because God, God, I went to work. I was out of work. I was about 30 minutes away. She went into a seizure, but luckily my dad was still there, and she went into one and went to condition, and I didn't know it was that bad until I got there, and my dad left, and I was still there, and I asked her, "Do you want me to call the ambulance?" And she said, "Yes," and I called the ambulance, and they had them responding, and whenever I called the ambulance, they said that they didn't have any ambulance available, but God gave. Sorry. But God is so mighty, because whenever we got to when my dad got back, he ran in there, we started getting everything ready. Luckily right next to us we had a camper that was a firefighter and a paramedic, and they ran over there and assisted, and then right then the fire department came in minutes, and they was there, and this is the awesome thing about the fire department. They was working at the fire department at the time that the call went out, and they got a fast response, and they helped her, and I took her to the hospital, and after they started medflying her, the doctor gave us news on Sunday that she lost all of her blood pressure while flying over here. And God kept his hands on her. And just God just been keeping me strength and keeping me from breaking down and losing my hope. And just God just been encouraging me and keep going and keep fighting, because he is in control. He's doing something mighty. And I'm just trusting in him what he's going through this. I don't know what it is, but God's going to show me. And I just want to give him all the praise and the glory tonight.
Praise the Lord. Well, we appreciate having Brother Coster tonight and everyone else that's here. We're thankful you're here. We were praying for your wife. And, you know, the Lord, we never know how the Bible makes a promise to us that all things work together for the good. Doesn't mean that God causes it to happen, but he'll take whatever you're going through. He'll get in it with you. And he'll work it for good some way. God will work. Somebody asked me here recently if the Lord was trying to talk to him or what. You know, they was going through something. I said, "Is God trying to talk to me?" I said, "Well, from what I feel, I don't think the Lord's actually trying to do anything to you, but watch for him to make something good out of it. He'll take your situations." The Bible says that chance happeneth to all men. And we have to look for what God's doing to see if he can talk to us. He can deal with us. He can correct us. He can, the Lord can. He can put His hand on us. We know, but then chance also is another thing that we have to consider. that it happens to every man, but God will take what you go through by chance. And if your life is turned over to Him for Him to work in your life, well, He can take just the situations that happen to you in life and turn them into something good. I used to sing a song years ago, "He made something wonderful out of my life." And I just know God's able. I've just served Him too many years, and I've watched Him work, and how that the Lord will get in situations and He'll turn them into something good. I had a sister call me on the way to church tonight, and from the Skytook Church, and she was riding to church with Sister Yvonne, and Yvonne wanted her to call me because her mother, who was out of the Tulsa church, and her sister years ago were praying and fasting, and one of them had a vision. They saw a word written up in the sky, and the word was Lebanon. And so they thought, well, God wants us to go to Lebanon and preach. These two sisters thought they was called to preach. So they went to Lebanon to preach. But there they found Brother Wampshire's church in the body of Christ. And they took them in, treated them so good. And there they found something that they thought they went there to bless them people, and they got the blessing. And they found the body of Christ. Of course, this sister was calling me. She was telling me this is my heritage, how I got here. It was through Lebanon. And, of course, you know, Sister Yvonne knew the story of God talking to me about Lebanon. And, you know, I was at the campground several years ago, back way before Brother Leninger passed away, I didn't feel good. And between the services, the day service was over, and we went to dinner, but I didn't feel good that day. I just wasn't feeling good. And before the night service, I thought, well, I'm going to go to my room and take a nap, just lay down. I just don't feel good. Brother Horton and Sister Smith wasn't able to go to that meeting with me. I think it was when, might have been when you was fixing to have Nathan. I believe that might have been when it was. I'm not sure, but it seemed like it had something to do with the grandbaby, why she couldn't leave. You know, it was really important. And Brother Horton went with me, and he went, and we had, at that time, we had twin beds in our room there in the minister's house, and he said, well, I think I'll just go with you and take a nap. And so we went in and laid down, and I went to sleep. And in my dream, I had a dream, and in my dream, it was a very short dream. I was in the spirit, and I heard a voice so vibrant, so boisterous. It said, there is to be a work in Lebanon and Montreal. And it was so profound that it just shook me. And I just sat right straight up in my bed, and I thought, my Lord, what is this all about? And it woke Brother Horton. I woke Brother Horton up. I don't know if I said something or what. And so he said, what is it? And I said, man, I just had a dream. And it really shook me. You know, I thought, well, what in the world is the Lord wanting? I was pastoring the church in Springfield or in Republic, and I thought, well, of course, I knew Lebanon, Missouri was just 70 miles northeast of us on I-44. So I thought, well, I can, you know, if God wants a work in Lebanon, we'll just go up there and find whatever it is he wants us to find. So I went up there several times, visited churches. I sent Brother Durham several times, didn't I? Sent Brother Ayers up. I sent different men up. We went to looking for churches, finding a door in Lebanon, where to go. And while I was doing that, I went to Brother Goss. Brother Leniger was over the work in Montreal, Canada. And I saw Brother Goss at the meeting. And I told him about my dream. He said, well, Brother Smith, there's already a work in Montreal. Well, I think we had five churches there already. Brother Leniger was over, and he had Brother Goss as the local overseer there in Canada. And I said, I know there is, but I'm just telling you my dream. I don't know what it means. And so then I looked on the map, and I found there's a little community north of Lebanon, Missouri, about 25 miles southeast of Camdenton. The name of this little community was Montreal, Missouri. There was like 337 people that lived there, if I remember right. And they all got their mail from the post office in Montreal. So I wrote a letter, 337 letters. I said, I had a dream about Montreal. And I said, if you've ever heard of William Souders or ever had anything to do or know anything about his message or his vision of the body of Christ for these last days in the Gentile world, I would like to talk to you. I said, please call me. Here's my number or email address, or I don't remember even I had an email way back in, or my address, whatever it was. We visited Lebanon, sent men to Lebanon. We found some people there, but we couldn't find a door. Nothing really opened up. Didn't feel right. Finally, I just backed up. That's when I sent those letters to Montreal. Didn't get one response. I thought, Lord, I'm trying to obey you. I don't know what you're wanting, but I want you to know that I'm willing to do whatever it is you want me to do, but I don't find any doors open. So I said, the Bible says, let everything be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So I said, I'm just going to wait on another witness, whatever it is you're wanting. Unless, you know, something happens, I don't know what more to do. And I just put it on the shelf. But after Brother Leniger died, Brother Goss called me, and he said, Brother Smith, did Brother Leniger give you any instructions about Montreal? I said, no. He just told me to keep serving the Haitian people. He said, well, I need your help. I said, well, I don't know how much help I can be. I'll do whatever I can do. So he asked me to come up there, and so I did, and then we had a meeting up there, and it just worked out where it just seemed like Brother Goss and I connected, and he wanted me to keep coming and helping him. He said, I won't be able to do this without strength. So I just started helping him in Montreal, and it wasn't very long that, you know, he asked me, he said, you know, we just need you to oversee this, and I said, well, I'll just keep coming doing what I'm doing, and you keep doing what you're doing. We'll just work together and try to strengthen and build the body up here. But I really never did connect that, really, with that dream, so to speak, until Brother and Sister Weiniger, one day we were up in the apartment, and at that time it was Brother Weiniger's office, and we were talking about, you know, this work. Brother Leniger had asked me if anything happened to him to watch over this work and talk to Brother Weiniger about it. A lot of people don't believe that. I've heard all kinds of things about it, but Brother Weiniger and I know what happened. We know what Brother Leniger told us. But still, I still was willing for whatever Brother Weiniger wanted to do, because Brother Leininger really didn't set that in order before he died with the church itself. And so I didn't try to. But when Brother Weiniger asked for my help, I was willing to help him the same way, just whatever I can do. But one day we were up in the office talking, and he said, and I told them, somehow or another this came up, I told this dream about me having this dream. I don't even remember why I told it. I don't remember what the conversation was, but Sister Joyce is the one. When I told that dream, she said, "Well, Brother Smith, I think your dream has come to pass." I said, "You do?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "You're over Montreal. And my daddy found the body of Christ in Lebanon, Missouri. And this work right here is the main thing that came out of that work. And if God had told you Little Rock back then, that would have caused a lot of trouble and confusion. But, you know, this my dad represents the Lebanon work, because there was not a body church there now. But what got planted in Brother Tucker there? Well, you know, when she said that, it just clicked. And I thought, well, that's good enough for me. And I never have had another worry about it. Before that, I always was concerned, you know, about what the Lord wanted. But it was a confirmation to me. And, you know, everybody needs, we all need confirmation from the Lord, don't we? No matter what you go through in life, no matter what happens to you, you need to know that God is in it with you. Somewhere you need the witness of the Lord. Jesus said one time, he said, "I'm not alone. I'm not by myself. But he said, there's another that bears witness of me. He's greater than I am." Hallelujah. And so he knew he wasn't in this world by himself. He knew God was with him. And we all need that. All of God's children need to know that the Lord is with them. And if you'll serve him, sometimes, you know, you'll wonder, "Where are you, Lord?" But he said, "I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you, even to the end of the world." That's a promise from God. He won't leave you. He's not going to leave you alone. You're not going to go through things without God knowing about it, not without him being there with you. And all things work together for the good to them that are the called. Oh God, do you feel like you're one of the called of God? Has God called you? If he has, that's a scripture you can lay hold of. The called, according to his purpose. And then look at the rest of that scripture, what it says. I didn't get up here to stalk on that, but since I am, we'll just read it. Look what he says there. According to his purpose, we're called according to his purpose. The interesting thing about that is God does have a purpose. He has a absolute plan. He had it before the foundation of the world. He knew, if you can fathom this, he knew you before the foundation of the world if you're part of the call. You say, "You mean God knew my name?" Well, let me just say this. I don't expect you to figure it out, and I don't have it figured out, because it's just too high for me, something like that. But we just cannot bring God down on our level. We just can't make him so small that he has to fit in our understanding. After all, he created all of this magnificent creation. The galaxies, the universe, and all the universes and galaxies that are beyond it that they're finding out more about. And it's just too big for our understanding altogether. We're not going to understand everything right. We're going to understand everything that's necessary for us to make it. to fit into his purpose. And so he'll work once he calls you, if you'll learn to submit to him. And then he has a purpose. And he is the one that's going to bring it to pass. That's the other thing. Every one of us need to understand there is something for us to do. God's called us, and there is something that we're responsible to respond to God. But we're not responsible to figure out how to make his purpose come to pass. That's his responsibility. And he's well capable of fulfilling it. He said, for, according to his purpose, verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Wow, there's his purpose, that God foreknew and predestinated. He predetermined that there would be people that would respond to him. And he's working in this purpose, this plan of God, and he knows how to bring it to pass. Here's another magnificent thing about God. He won't make you do it. He won't force you to be a part of the called. In fact, you can be the called and not be conformed to his image, but that is his purpose for the called. But he won't make you do that. You've got to respond. That part's up to you. But his purpose is intact. And if you will, like Brother Talley said, if you'll just humble yourself. God responds to humility. We'll humble ourselves. I think there's several men in the Bible and men that aren't in the Bible that could have changed their destiny if they'd have humbled themselves. There's men that they didn't have to be what they turned out to if they would have humbled themselves. I don't think that if you go back to the flood, I don't think that Ham or Japheth, I don't think they would have had to left the people of God or the plan of God and got out of God's will. I don't think they would have had to do that. I don't think God forced that on them. If they could have repented and humbled themselves, God could have fitted them back into his purpose. And I think that still holds true today. But, sometimes I know that it takes time. Do you know that? It takes time to get established. What did Peter say? He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, after you've suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen and settle you. Establish, strengthen and settle you. I think he just pretty well said it backwards. I think you first got to get settled. You come to God, and God's plan's working, and his purpose is working in your life. It takes a while just for you to get settled in this. It took me a while, you just settle it in your mind. I'm going to be a part of God's family. I'm going to be a part of God's kingdom. I'm casting my lot with God's people. I made up my mind.
Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You've got to get to a place you want to resist him. You want him to flee from you. You got to, what did Paul say? He said, don't give place to the devil. How did he say it? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Well, don't let the sun. Of course, I think he was talking back there to the church at Ephesus, that the wrath, the day of wrath, had come in the end of the Jewish world. We're not there yet. We're not in a parallel time. We're in the end of the Gentile world, but the day of his wrath hasn't come yet. But Paul knew that the age was closing for that world, the Jewish world. They were down in the last days of that world. And he was telling them, you know, he had an understanding. There's a last prophetical hour to the day of the Lord. It's a 15-year period. And the first 7.5 years of it, God is finishing his purpose with his the called. And the last 7.5 years of that last prophetical hour, he's pouring out his wrath. AD 70, the wrath of God was poured out upon Israel. They rejected the Son of God. The wrath of God was poured out for 7.5 years. And destruction. Read the 13th chapter of Isaiah. And the 6th chapter of Revelation talks about our day of wrath. We're going to have a day of wrath and a day of vengeance down here. But the Lord, he does have a purpose. And he wants us to fit into it. And if we'll just yield ourselves to him, you know, all you can do is all you know to do. God is the one that has to give you the permit to go a little further. But he will. He will. To him whom much is given, much is required. And the day of the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. God will shine a more light. As long as you're just, he'll keep for you to walk in. He'll lead the way. His purpose is for you to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's almost more than you can fathom. You know, all you can do with that is just say, God, I believe that. I believe that I can be like Jesus. If I can yield myself to you enough to let you work that work in me. Hallelujah. That's a tremendous vision to know that you can be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be, you know, he even qualifies that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus was... he was the firstborn of God after the fall of Adam among men. But God just wanted him to be the first fruits. And he's called that, the first fruits. And that you and I would be born of the Spirit, just like Jesus was born of God's Spirit. We had to be born again. And then we would go through a process that would conform or form us. Paul said it another way in the book of Romans, where he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God's will, that just means his purpose again. That God has a purpose for you and I to... And he wants to finish this work in us. We've been studying in Bible study on the book of Hebrews. I'm getting more out of the book of Hebrews than I ever did before. I'm just enjoying staying in it and just grazing and meditating on it and getting more understanding. I've made the statement that it's the only letter or epistle in the Bible that really reveals the plan of God that was in Christ. From Christ coming in the end of the Jewish world until he finishes the work that God sent him to do, and that work is finished in us. His, you know, he shows the full plan. He just methodically goes through it. For it's written to the Hebrews, but you and I can certainly, of course, if you're born again, you're a spiritual Hebrew. You know, you're a spiritual. Paul said, he that is a Jew is not a Jew that's a circumcised of the flesh, but he that's a Jew is one that's circumcised of the heart. So if you've been born of the Spirit of God, you've been added into the promise of Abraham. And that promise includes the promise of the priest after the order of Melchizedek. So anyway, I'm enjoying it because it absolutely proves our vision that God sent Jesus to this world. There had to be another covenant. Paul said in the book of Hebrews that if the first covenant, if man could be made perfect under the law, there wouldn't have been a need for another priest. There wouldn't have been a need for another covenant. But because it was weak in that it could not make the comers to that covenant perfect, so there was need for another covenant. And there was a need for another priesthood. A change of the law, he said. Because the law, you can keep a law all day, but it won't change your nature. But this Holy Ghost nature of God that we're born again of, it will change you. He said, this is the covenant. And Paul quotes it twice. That I'll make with my people in those days. I'll put my laws in their hearts and write it in their minds. And then in fact, look in Hebrews. Look in the 8th chapter first. And then I want you to see that Paul writes that two ways. He changes it around. In the 10th verse of Romans 8, he's quoting from Jeremiah 31:31, and he says, "For this is the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I'll be to them a God, and they'll be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know ye the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest." Now, what he's really saying there is, my deal not working? It's not on? So I'll try to stay still. Sometimes I get excited. I have to move a little bit. But what he's saying there, that this 11th verse, they'll not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, do you know the Lord? For all will know him. Well, he really, of course, I put that, you know, the ultimately, the end of that, down, in the millennium. Finally, this thing's going to reach out to so many people that, and that every nation, every tongue's going to bow. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Have I got it on now? Did that work? How about it still don't work? Oh, wait a minute. Here, this little thing wouldn't push good. How about now? All right. Thank you. But when he says this, it really means that when this operation of the Holy Ghost that took place on the day of Pentecost, when that takes place and people are born of me, they're not going to have to learn of me. They are going to know me. Every man's going to know that I am their Savior. They're not going to have to be taught a law and rehearsed and rehearsed all the history and the prophet, the words of the prophets and the law to believe that I am their God. They're going to know. Every man's going to know that I am. You won't have to ask your brother, do you know the Lord? For everybody that gets in this is going to know me. But ultimately, I know that his purpose in this covenant is to finish that work in everybody. And actually, before it's over with, there won't be anybody in this world that don't know him, don't really know him. And we'll all be a part of the kingdom of heaven before God gets finished with it. But what I'm wanting to show you is notice here, he said, with this covenant, I'm going to put my laws in their minds and write it in their hearts. See, it was wrote on tables of stone in the first covenant. And it was in their minds because they rehearsed it. They read what was on them stones. They memorized it. They wore little frontlets as little children over their eyes and rehearsed all 613 ordinances of the law of Moses. Went over it and over it and over it. It was in their mind. But it couldn't change their heart any more than, I mean, their heart was changed to a certain extent, but it could not purge their heart to the point that there was no sin there. They couldn't get to a place where the sin nature had been changed. But he said, this is the new covenant, what it's going to do. Now look in the tent. Here he said, I'm going to put it in their mind and write it in their heart. Look what Paul said in the 10th chapter. And let's see what verse it is. 16. Yeah. This is the covenant that I'll make with them. Verse 16. After those days, saith the Lord. Paul's writing and quoting again. He said, I'll put my law in their hearts, and in their minds I'll write them. He says it just the opposite, because it means the same thing to him, that what gets in your mind through the Holy Ghost. I've said it before, when a Spirit of God starts working in your life, That's this comforter Jesus promised. He said, he told his disciples, he said, this comforter that I'm going to send you, he said, in that day, when you get this, you're going to know that I am in my Father and my Father's in me and we are in you. You're going to know that. You're going to know, just as I'm in my Father, you're going to know that we're in you too. Because he said, he started off that chapter in John 14, said, in my Father's house, there's many mansions. That word right there means there's many dwelling places. And for you to really get the understanding, you are the dwelling place it's talking about. Me and my Father will come and make our abode in you. He said, he's been with you. He told his disciples, he's been with you, but he shall be in you. This comforter. It's not only going to get in your mind. When the truth, when the Word of God goes forth anointed, and the Holy Ghost, see, I can talk till I'm blue in my face, because I can't make you believe anything. But if it's quickened by God, if the Word of God, if you hear the Word of God and the Holy Ghost quickens it to you, you get a witness of something that's truth. It's quickened to you. Now, I don't mean that it's become a part of your understanding, because when it's quickened to you, it's knowledge. It's light. You're enlightened. But then you'll have to go through some experience. That's why
he said we go through, we glory in tribulations because tribulation works patience. Patience experience hope. You know, this thing, it starts working in you. And, you know, you hear the word of God and you start living for God and living according to the word of God. And it takes you through experiences. Every situation you go through in life, just like Brother Coster, he's going through an experience right now. And he can either hold on to God or he can turn away from God in it. But if he holds on to God, I don't know what's going to happen, but I guarantee you God will make it good. He'll make something good out of it. Whatever we go through, he didn't say, I'll take you out of the temptation, but I'll go through it with you. I'll be there with you. With the temptation, I'll make a way of escape. That is, you'll escape from being destroyed for whatever you're going through. God will, he will make a way of escape for you. Hallelujah. You can hold on to that. He's a God of salvation. He's here to save you. Whatever you go through, he'll give you strength. He won't put more on you than you can bear. He'll give you strength to make it. And it will work something in your life. The experience that you go through and you hold on to the word of God, and that'll strengthen you. After a while, you'll know. You'll know that Jesus knew that. He could read those scriptures in Psalms where it talked about they shoot out their lips at me. I give myself to them for stripes. He read all that. He knew all that was talking about him. So when he went through it, he was going through an experience, but he already had a witness in knowing that God showed him, you're going to go through this, but I'm going to be with you, and you, if you'll hold on to me, I'll do something in your life. And though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And he was made perfect. He wasn't perfect, but he was made perfect. He was the author of this new covenant. And he had to be the first partaker. And he was being conformed to the image of his Father. And God was transforming. You know, he may have been born of God. He may have had the Spirit of God without measure, but he was still had a human nature. And he still had to conquer that nature. He still had to transform it and be formed or conformed or transformed into the image of the righteousness of his God and Father. Every time I think about that, I think, you know, if I just give over to my thoughts, I'd think, I can't do that. You know, that's too high for me. But I don't think like that. I just have to exercise faith and say, you said it, Lord. It's your purpose. And here's how you do it. Line upon line. Precept on precept. Here a little and there a little. Line upon line. Precept on precept. You just take every day and say, God, I'm going to serve you. Whatever, however you're going to lead me. Whatever your experience you're going to take me in. And he'll be with you. This is magnificent about God. You know, you can think, you know, I got this. And then God will take you through an experience and you'll say, I ain't got it. I ain't got it. But there'll be something in you that'll say, you can get it. You're in a place you can get more. Even at first you may start, you know, going down a little bit. But then God will take you so far in this you'll think, this ain't no way to do. I know better than this. I gotta get back up. I gotta stand up. You know, I can't live with my feeble knees and hands hanging down. I gotta get my head back up, look into the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. I've got to get my faith exercised and focused back in him.
as I realize, you know, that's something we've been talking about in Bible study. God's called every one of you to be a leader. He's called every one of you to be a ruler. That's part of the called, according to His purpose, that you overcome sin and rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. That's the calling today. So you got to learn to lead. When things get tough, what happens? The tough get going. You know, when everybody's looking down, you have to look up. When everybody says it's going down, you have to say it ain't going down. It ain't going down. Don't lie to me, devil. It ain't going down. This is the call according to God's purpose. And we're going to keep walking. We're going to keep moving towards Him. We're going to keep believing. And we're going to keep having faith that He's going to stand with us or show us and help us. Amen. You can't look down. You can't turn back. Jesus said, he that puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not worthy. Well, I don't want to be not worthy. I can just tell you right now, I'm sure when Peter, James, you know, when Paul and Silas was in jail and they're in there in stocks, don't you know, they said, my God. Silas might have looked at him and said, boy, look what you got us into. Look what's happened to us. Why would God do this to us? We were preaching. We was healing the sick. We were saving people. People was getting the Holy Ghost. What's happened with God? Why has He got us in here? We've been beaten. We're chained up. Seems like God don't care. Something inside of Paul said, we can't talk like that. We can't believe that. No. He said, whatever happens in this, it's going to happen. It's going to be for the good. He said, let's sing. Let's start singing. Let's start praising Him. What a leader. What a man that got an understanding. And God's called me to lead. He's called me to stand against the wiles of the devil and every negative thing and every low thing that rises up against the things of God. And those men just began to sing. My God, the place started shaking. Woo! Hallelujah. I can almost feel it right now. Praise God. What a God. Well, the Bible's full of those stories. And I'd rather latch on to one of them than I had to hold on to something that's dark and gloomy and without any faith and no salvation, no light. I don't want no more of that. I'd rather be with God's people and suffer with them, go through whatever we got to go through. But I can tell you this, I've read the book and I know how this comes out. And that's where I cast my lot. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I'm glad to be in church tonight. And I'm happier than I was when I came. I didn't have a thing to say, but I feel better now. Praise God. Sometimes I preach myself. I encourage myself. David one time, you know, he was in trouble. All of his men wanted to kill him. He lost everything that he owned and they owned in Ziklag. The Bible said it's about time. You know, he went out to pray. He thought, man, I need to get hold of God. He went out and prayed. And the Bible said he encouraged himself. I don't know what he did, but he got out there and got to pray and he got encouraged. He must have thought about Samuel pouring out oil on him. He must have rehearsed all the things that had happened with, you know, he must have got to thinking about his forerunners, men like Joseph, men like Joshua, men like Moses, and Aaron, and begin to think about all of them. He got encouraged. Begin to think about the good things of God, what God can do in the voice, in the face of adversity. The Bible, he said, God, when he got encouraged, he got faith. He said, God, would you let me? Would you let me recover what I've lost? Would you let
me go. Will you help me if I take the men and go out after what we lost? And God spoke to him in his faith and in his encouraging faith. God said, go, and I'll go with you. Hallelujah. And he went and recovered everything that he lost. Hallelujah. I don't know what you've lost, but I guarantee you can get it back and more. Get it back. Hallelujah. That's his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm happy. Praise God. It's good to be in the house of God tonight. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, let the people of the Lord.
might shake hands with one another and be friendly. See you at Bible study Sunday morning. Saturday, work day, 8:30. So we've just got a couple, you know, Saturdays will be our last work day before the meeting. Brother Elias Ciprian's coming in next week for the meeting. Brother Enrique from Ecuador that's working with us now in the Dominican Republic, he's coming in Wednesday also. And so right now I'm thinking Wednesday night, next Wednesday, before the meeting, that we'll probably have it as a work night just to get last minute. He wants to be in church Wednesday night with us. We're not settled yet. We still got a weekend. We can announce what we're going to do, but he can worship with us while we work. But we'll just see. But anyway, Sister Ann. Sister Inez and Sister Ann Thompson needs to meet with the workers in the kitchen and dining room Sunday after the Sunday service. I think it'd be better right after Sunday morning service than, you know, later. So if you would come and be sure that you meet with them. Try not to forget that. We'll mention it again Sunday morning. All right. God bless your hearts. See the brethren. What about Saturday morning? Sister Ann, have you and Sister Sherry talked about this? Seemed like we worked a lot better after we had breakfast. Where y'all at? Can y'all handle that? Where is she at? Sister Sherry, are you in here? She was here a minute, a little bit ago. Huh? All right. Yes, Sister Sandra. All right. They'll get it worked out. We'll have breakfast for you. That way I'll get more men to come. See, they know that is coming. All right, God bless your hearts. Good night.